Today's scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. God's people long ago left this word for us today, so listen now for a word from our God. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to God's self, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the work of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making the appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Will you join with me in prayer? Let us pray. Our longing for love brings us together, seeking to give ourselves to love, to be people of love, to be one with you, O God, whose name is love. And so let us once more suit up and show up for the work of loving the world. Amen. So there are three phrases in this scripture that really jump out at me. The first one is that we are ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors. The second one is that God has given us the work of reconciliation. And it's work sometimes. And the third is that we no longer regard anyone from a human point of view. So I invite you to think about those three phrases with me for a few minutes this morning. We're ambassadors for Christ. We have the work of reconciliation entrusted to us. And we no longer regard anyone from a human point of view. I've mentioned that book. Stefan read for us a quotation from the book, If the Church Were Christian. I've been thinking a lot about that book and reading passages of it recently, and I recommend it. One of the things that Philip Gully says in that book, excuse me, is that if the church were really Christian, we'd spend more time on reconciliation and less time on judgment. It kind of reminds me of one of the sayings of our denomination, the United Church of Christ, that we have testimonies of faith rather than tests of faith. You know, I do not believe that Jesus would be happy at all with us taking his name and his teaching and turning that into a test of faith to judge whether somebody else is right with God or not. That's not consistent with the work that he did in the world. As a Jewish teacher and leader, he was very serious about warning people against idolatry. And one of the things that Philip Gully says is that if the church were really Christian, we would spend more time doing the work that Jesus did and gave us to do, and less time making Jesus an object of worship. Wow, that hits pretty hard. Jesus, as a Hebrew, as a Jew, was very serious about idolatry. There's only one God. Don't make an idol of people. Once when someone said to Jesus, "Good teacher, thank you for your teaching," he said, "Who are you calling good? Only God is good." So he warned people against making an idol of him. But how many times now do we think that what Jesus wants is praise songs rather than the work that he did? Over and over again, we make the mistake of making an idol of Jesus instead of doing the work that he called people to do. Philip Gully says, if the church really were Christian, we would turn to Jesus more as a model for the work of serving God than making Jesus an idol of our worship. And it is work being ambassadors for Christ. Think about what an ambassador does in a foreign country. Ambassadors for the United States represent the United States. They are points of communication and information. They don't try and make everybody in that other place into a citizen of the United States, but they do represent the United States and its values. They work on behalf of the United States in those settings far away. So what does it mean for us to be ambassadors for Christ? To represent Christ, to continue the work that he gave his followers to do? Surely that's at least one part of what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. And we have to ask ourselves, what is the work of Christ, the work of reconciliation that God gives us to do now? We're a society that likes to pay other people to work for us. And oftentimes in our culture, people have noted that we may approach church as something, well, we pay the minister to do that. We pay the pastor. We pay the youth minister. We pay the church staff to do the work of the church. But of course, what the text says is that if you are in Christ, your responsibility is the work of reconciliation. And the church has always held that it's the ministry of all believers, the priesthood of all believers, that's doing the work of Christ in the world. So we as a congregation are called to think about what is the work that's entrusted to this particular congregation, in this particular time, in this particular place in history. When Church of the Open Arms started, we felt that part of the calling, part of the work of this congregation had to do with equality for all people, regardless of sexual orientation, that was a part of our calling and our work. And there are times through the years when I've thought, we've made so much progress as a society, maybe it's not that important to focus on that kind of work anymore. But just about a week ago, I learned from our friend Caleb Onowell, who's a pastor in a UCC church in Minnesota, that they had an experience in their church, which is a lot like our church, very progressive and open. They had a funeral for a member of their church, an older guy who was a gay man. It was his funeral, and they had this beautiful funeral service for him. And then his daughter, who was an adult, stood up to share about her father and began lecturing everyone there, telling them that they needed to repent and that they were all going to hell. What a reminder that there's still work to be done around issues of equality, regardless of sexual orientation. Surely that is a part of the work that's entrusted to us as a congregation. But that's not the only work of reconciliation that we have to do. And we've never thought of ourselves as a congregation who just stood for a single issue. We've always understood that reconciliation, the work of reconciliation, is about all kinds of brokenness in the world. Feeding people who are hungry, working for peace, being advocates on behalf of the environment, binding up all kinds of brokenheartedness, working for racial equality and justice, economic reform, economic equality. There's all kinds of work of reconciliation that has to be done in the world. And part of the way we do that work that makes it church work instead of social work is that we do it from a different point of view than social workers or government agencies do it. We do that kind of work of building justice, helping those who are sick, helping the hungry, helping those in need, from a new point of view. And the scripture says we no longer regard anyone from just a human point of view. There's a book by Yevhany Yevtushenko. It was published in the 1940s, and it's entitled Almost at the End. And it's a book about an experience that happened in 1941, when in the Russian city, Moscow, huge crowds lined the streets and gathered, waiting to see the parade of German prisoners of war that were going to be paraded through the streets. And as thousands of people packed the sidewalks and pressed in, lining the streets, waiting for this parade to come, the air was thick with hatred and anger, because just about everyone there had lost in the war a son, a husband, a brother. The grief, the anger, the heartache from war pressed in with all those strong feelings as the crowd waited for this parade. And then the prisoners came into view. And Yevtushenko writes, "The prisoners came into view, thin, unshaven, wearing dirty, blood-stained bandages, hobbling on crutches or leaning on the shoulders of their comrades, and the streets became dead silent. An old woman pushed through the crowd, past the police, and taking something from her coat, she pushed it into the hands of an exhausted prisoner, a crust of black bread. And then, suddenly from every side, women were running toward the soldiers, pushing into their hands bread, cigarettes, whatever they had. The soldiers were no longer the enemy. When we see other people no longer from a human point of view, it's a testimony to the power of God. What else besides love can transform our perspective, give us new eyes for seeing and new ears for hearing? The power of love to change the way we actually see, to change what we're able to see. That's the power of our God that's present in the work of reconciliation. So we no longer see anyone else from merely a human point of view. Recently, our church has been struggling with some questions about our identity and our welcome. though we are clear that it's part of our identity to welcome all people, we're also clear that it's not acceptable to welcome every behavior. And that, in fact, to create a safe space for community, we have to prohibit some behaviors, even though we welcome all people. So how do we balance that calling? How do we see these questions from more than a human point of view? And I've been really inspired watching many of you right here in this room and others as well move from a first reaction to being more open, at least hearing and seeing things from a different point of view, being a little bit softer and more gentle in our discernment of listening to each other and listening for God's still speaking voice. If we come from just a human point of view, then we see everything in terms of good guys and bad guys, guilty people and innocent people. If we come from merely a human point of view, then we ask ourselves, are you on my side or are you my opponent? Are you going to vote with me? All of those kinds of questions come from the human point of view. But God calls us to become new. We are becoming new in Christ. And that means work, sometimes on ourselves. And the difficulty of working together, which ain't easy a whole lot of times. Be a whole lot easier just to stay home. But you're here maybe because God has called you to be a part of this work together, manifesting God's love in this church, adding your voice to the mix of what the calling is for this particular congregation in this time. In 1997, when we started Church of the Open Arms, I thought, Oklahoma City doesn't need another church. Are you kidding me? But I've been given a new perspective on that issue. There is a need for the unique witness, the unique testimony, the unique calling that God gives to this congregation. So let us continue to do the work of reconciliation. Will you join with me in a moment of silence?